You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I am. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is so good. It's good to be in the house. Amen. Amen, everyone. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is the Bread of Life. I'm Reverend Ray. And what we're going to do today, we can continue off. And hopefully Reverend Robin White will be joining me in a little bit. We're going to talk about God Remember Us. And this is part two. And it's coming out of Psalms 106, verse 45. Amen. So that's where we're coming from. Amen. So we're going to talk just a little bit more about this. This is part two of it. We got a chance to go over quite a few scriptures last time we were here. So I want to encourage you to go back and look at the listen to the broadcast. And it's entirely that God remembered us. And again, this was something, I think I did this couple of weeks ago and everything. And y'all hear my phone ringing in the background, right? And I thought I had finished, but when I talked to Robin, she wanted to do some more, add some more things to it. So I said, yeah, we can do that. So I just want to go back over, because this is something that is needed in the body of Christ today, that we need to know that God remembers us, okay? No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, and to remember that He's with us always, no matter what, you know. For me personally, there's some things that me and my family are going through right now with my mom, and it's very difficult. Because when it comes to loved ones and everything like that, and how we feel, we don't want to see our loved ones not well, whether it's mom, sister, brother, husband, wife, whatever, whoever the case might be, or even a friend. And you remember people in the day when they was full of vibrant and full of energy, especially for me, my mother, and to see them now. And to witness what's going on within them, it's just so it's mind-boggling and unexpected. And though we know that as we get older, we go towards, you know, the body begins to break down and everything. But even in the midst of that, God still remember us. God still remember us. And I'm just. I know that my God remembers my mother now, you know, as she's going through, she's in physical therapy, probably sometime this week. But notice it, and you may be going through something similar with your parents or with your loved one and everything. Just remember that God remembers the loved one, and God remember us. So I'm excited about this. Like I say, we're going to probably go back over some of the things that we talk about. Reverend Robin, I think, just joined us. I'm glad to have her with me and everything. And, you know, just sometimes just remembering, man, you know, putting things back into the forefront, that no matter what, that God remembers His covenant and He remembers us. He remembers His covenant that He made with us. Before the foundation of the earth, while we were in our mother's womb, you know, before we even had a name, God knew our name. He knew everything about us. So what we're going to do first, before we're going to go ahead and open a prayer, then I'm going to read about the different broadcasts that's coming out, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Amen.
So just bear with me. Father God, we come today to first to say thank you for your many grace and your mercy that you have shown us, God, all the people all across the world and different nationalities, God, for truly you are the awesome to us, God. So we pray that this broadcast be a blessing to the people, God, and that we begin to remember, Lord Jesus, that you remember us no matter what our circumstances, no matter how we may feel, God, no matter what kind of report is given, but yet still you remember us and you have not left us and you promised never to forsake us or leave us, God. Thank you for your covenant that you have cut with us. We couldn't do this life, this thing can't go like without you. It becomes even more difficult. So God, we pray today, God, that we would begin to repent of any sins and deeds that we have committed. That we have begin to show you your favor, God, that you would show us favor, God, that you lead us to the rock that is higher than our God, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, God, that we might be able to listen to you and obey your commandments, that we might love one another, God. For again, you remember us, God. So we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would come and have your way within this broadcast, God, that you would show those that are listening, God, and those that may not have heard before, a more excellent way in you, Jesus Christ. We might begin to declare the wondrous works of you, Christ, and all that you have done in our life, Lord Jesus. Every obstacle, every stepping stone, God, every stone thrown against us, God, every brick, all of those things, God, but you still remember us. We would thank you forever. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. And again, I just want to remind you to hear Surrounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday. Amen at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. My monthly broadcast is Lifeline. It's with Apostle Shirley Jones, is every first Monday at 7 p.m. And Frank looked like she got a broadcast coming up in a couple of weeks. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Nevada Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One, Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with the brothers Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Elston is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday. Amen. This is a free conference call. The number is 712-770-5505. That's his code is 732-499. Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry. And then this is a panel of great women and men. It's myself, Maggie Wilson. There's also quite a couple other people too. That's every third Friday. Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. And that's with Minister Carmen. Amen. So you can also go check out our website and a little more information about us and about the different broadcasts and platforms that we broadcast on. Amen. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get started. God remembers us. Reverend Robin, are you with us?
Bless the Lord. I am here on, excited for this particular broadcast and man on with you. I'm looking forward to what God has to share with us through you. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen. With us. Amen. But amen. Yeah, Robin was the one that one of the ones that had inspired me to about the scripture. She had sent this to me. We was talking about something in particular, and I looked it up, and then I began to do more research and to study it and everything. And at the time, I was thinking, you know, why do we feel like that God has abandoned us? He remembers us, you know what I mean? And everything. And again, it's coming out of Psalms 106, verse 42 from 48. I read all the way down to 48 and everything. And I just want to start at verse 42. And Robbie, you can jump in anytime because I know you got A lot of things to say and add. Amen. All right, it says, their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, talk about God, but they provoked him with counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. In other words, they failed, okay? Verse 44 says, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction, and when he heard their cry, he remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He said, it's because he remembered for them his covenant. He remembered his promises. But there was something that Robin that I didn't really get into last week, that he heard their cry. There was a cry that went out first, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitudes of his mercies. 46 says, he made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto their holy name, to triumph in their praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, amen. Praise he the Lord. And they begin to realize that after all of that, you know, they say, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give, to do what? To give thanks unto the holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. You know, to bless be the Lord of God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. There's something about when we, Robin, you can help me, when we go through certain things, you know, challenges and parts of life, that we need to be able to remember that God remembers us, because we have sometimes have what is called spiritual amnesia. We forget that the children of Israel had a lot of that going on. They forgot. They was able to cross the Red Sea because God split the sea and they walked on dry ground. They forgot different things that took place, you know, and everything. And what would it took maybe 40 days, I think that's 40 days took 40 years just to go into the promised land because of forgetting and because of doubt and because of lack of faith. But they have just remembered that God remembered them even when they was in Egypt and the taskmaster and the Pharaoh was put them in bondage and slave. God remembered his people. He remembered them. 400 years, he remembered them, you know. So this scripture says that God is not slack in his promise. If God said, promise something, God said it's going to take come to pass, then his word would not return into him void. Truly, it will come to pass. Robin, you got anything to add to the for verse 45?
No, I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, it's just something with Psalm 106. It begins with God's remembrance, and it goes into ending with God's remembrance. So that is something that we can definitely trust in the Lord. You know, if we look at Psalms 106, verse 4, it says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. It says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not thy multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. You know, so things that God do, I mean, we are so busily looking at ourselves, but God is making moves and doing things in our lives for his name's sake, because he has chosen, he has made this decision. So therefore, it's not for us, but it's for his name's sake. that he shall glorify. He will be glorified in the midst of our lives, even if our lives are a ragged mess. He will be glorified for his name's sake, because he has put his stamp of approval on us, because he has chosen us, and because he has done it, then he will live up to what he has said that he will do. And so he will be glorified. He will be glorified in our mess. He will be glorified in our mess. He will clean us up and present us brand new so that no one but him can get the glory. We can't get the glory, but he shall get the glory in front before man for his name's sake. It has nothing to do with us other than the fact that he has chosen us. That's where we can bask. That's where we can feel our sense of security and assurity. It's because we are his chosen children. And just as his chosen children, then therefore we are delivered from so many things because his name is attached to us. That is a blessing. That's not a right to go out and commit iniquity and not to believe in the things that God has said because he's going to come forth and he's going to do. No. What we want to do is walk in agreement with God, walk in agreement with who he says that we are, and then just walk in agreement and fulfilling that, not because he is having to come and do it for us, because he will, but because it is our heart desire, just as it is his heart desire, that he be glorified. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you for that. That whole chapter, I would suggest that you go back and read it, Psalms 106 and everything. The first thing in part of that in verse 1 said, it started off with a praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And like Robin was saying, that it goes through a whole list of things that that the nation of Israel went through and everything, all the testimonies of what God did in it, and the back and forth of the vacillating between serving God and not serving God. And then it gets to that part, it goes through a history of different things, and then it gets to the part where it says that God remembered his covenant, you know. So that for, again, for us, that, and I like Robert, what Robert did bring out. He said he did it for his name's sake, you know. He said he did it for his namesake, so that he might make his mighty power to be known. Known to who? Known to all the world. You know, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, it was going through all those things that they went through, the nations of the world, other nations, was fearful, because they knew or they had heard the testimony of what God had did for his people. So there was a fear, you know. There was a like, oh, their God is mighty. Their God is doing this. Their God is this. So it was became a testament to them. You know, in other words, God made them a testament, even when they failed, even when they slipped up. And that still holds true for us today and stuff like that. We have to become an epistle to be read among men and women, so they can see not us, but to see Jesus Christ, you know, even when we mess up, you know, even some of the what Robin was touching on, some of the trials and things that we go to is not meant to destroy us or to cause us harm, but it's meant to be a testimony, and it's meant to be an outcome that's in our favor. It's not always, some things that we bring on ourselves because it's, you know, through judgment or whatever, or there's consequences of what we do that we have to deal with that and stuff. But even then, you know, God's grace, man. I mean, God's grace and his mercy goes further than even the stuff that we do that we know that is wrong, because he's the forgiving God. I think I was saying with Robin earlier about, okay, you know, we should be always be in a place, because we were talking about David being in a place where, and that we have a certain amount of humility or humble towards the things of God and everything. And the one thing that we don't want to take place is we don't want God to give us over to a reprobate mind, to the point where we're doing wrong and we like it so much we don't even care We're no longer listening to what the Holy Spirit or what is speaking to us or any kind of words. We're not listening. We've been turned off to it and stuff like that. So, you know, we want God to keep it in a place that we are always, you know, if we're going in the wrong direction, we want to be able to be teachable and be able to be chastised to go, go in the direction that he has proven to us and everything, you know. Because most of the time, and I'm speaking for myself, Robin, that we try to figure things out ourselves, you know. And I always say to myself that if I do it myself, I make more of a mess out of it other than just like step back. Let God do it and see the salvation of the Lord. See and watch him do it. Amen.
Amen.
But, amen.
Who's going to do the work? It is him that, you know, that's the whole thing, is that it is God who's going to do the work, but God desires that we partner with him.
Yeah, yeah.
He desires that we partner. I mean, because then you had mentioned it when you first began the broadcast, is that God does not forget his promises. He does not forget who he's in covenant with. Because as you may recall, and you had kind of made reference to this earlier, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he told him clearly, you know, we've talked about this before, Reverend Ray, he told him clearly that they will go into 400 years of bondage.
Yeah.
So he knows what is going on. He knows what the plan is. He knows how many people he's going to have to come and deliver out of Egypt. He knows all those things that pertain to our lives. 400 years out, 2,000 years out, however many years out, he already knows the plans that he has for us. He already knew that 400 years after they get to Egypt, that's when I'm going to come. And that's when I'm going to deliver them by a mighty hand. You know, so we may find ourselves in a trial and a tribulation. We may be going through for a couple of weeks, a month, or years, or whatever. We're not going through something that God isn't already aware of. Nothing catches God by surprise. Things catch us by surprise because we have finite minds. We have limited knowledge. We have no foreknowledge. We know we can't see and know what's going to happen around the corner, but God does know what's going to happen around the corner. So when we go around that corner and we now encounter this trial or tribulation, you know, then we want to be, where is God? Where God was, he's already there. He was there when we got there. You know, he's not just finding this out because you're just finding this out or we're just finding this out. You see, but when some things come upon us, they be so heavy upon us that we think that where God is not here, God doesn't know about this. But yet, and as Reverend Ray said earlier, and I'm in Exodus 2, beginning at verse 23, and it says, "And it came to pass in the process of time." See, that's in the process of time for what God has said is going to match up with this particular time. He already knows that this connection and in this process of time, what is going to happen, that the king of Egypt died, and this is the king of Egypt who was well familiar with them, the Israelites. He's the one who invited them in. He was the one who came and just made sure that they had the land that they wanted. You know, he was the one who you know, already said, go and get your family and bring your family. You know, he was the one that Jacob, you know, came, you know, to be with. He was already the one. You know, so that did not come as a surprise to God that particular king would die. And I said Jacob, but I meant Joseph. You know, Joseph is the one who came forth and saved the whole family, you know. And he's the one who came to Egypt and you know, and he told them exactly what to tell the king, that they were shepherds, and he gave them the proper land that they need, and they just continued to grow. So, and it said here, and it says in the passage that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came upon unto God by reason of the bondage. You see, he knew that one king would die and another would come, and it's just like mankind. God knew, give mankind a certain amount of time, and he's going to forget.
Yeah.
He is going to forget. You know, and it's sometimes it's quicker than others. I mean, can you imagine? You know, we often stop and think, well, how could the people, the Israelites, see all of the wonders that God did, you know, in Egypt, all of the plagues, you know, that happened to the Egyptians but did not happen to them? How could they then get to the Red Sea and doubt their God? But you see, that's just how fickle man's mind is. That we are quick to forget what God did yesterday when we enter into a trial today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But see, he'll get us through a situation, and then we get to another thing, and then we'll say, where is God? He's the same God that will help you through the trial and tribulation of yesterday. This new trial comes as something new to you, but it wasn't to him. You know, instead of saying, where is God, but saying, cry out and say, I know you are here. I know you are with me. I know that you knew that this situation was going to come upon me. So I'm just calling on you, God, to bring forth all of your grace and mercies that are fresh and new for this new day that has come upon me as a surprise, but it's not a surprise to you. So because that's why it's not a surprise to you, because you said in your word that you give fresh grace and fresh mercy each and every day, because you know that in each and every new coming day, there is a new coming, a new trial, a new temptation, a new worry, a new job assignment, the loss of a job. You know that there's going to be something new in each and every day that your grace and your mercy will be sufficient for. You know, but we may in turn for so quickly forget what he has already done. If he did it for you yesterday, he would do it for you today. And if he'd do it for you today, he would do it for me on tomorrow. And so, but not to say that what things that we go through are not hard, because I can tell you, I had a hard year, and it took complete effort to keep my eye focused on God and not focused on what I was going through. You see, just to continue to say that I know that you're with me, and I thank God for the people that God had placed in my life to continue to bring to my remembrance that you are not alone. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. But we have to come to a place where we bring these things to our remembrance, because just as we need to bring things of God to our remembrance, he also at the same time is bringing things of us to his remembrance, which is what he said. It said, you know, that God, he remembered them. You know, it says he is in verse, this is Exodus 2:24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he remembered his covenant. He has not forgotten his covenant. No matter what we may be going through, he has not forgotten his covenant with us. He is faithful and just to remember. Even when we don't remember, he remembers. And it says, God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He had respect unto them. See, because they were his chosen people. He had a plan. And he yet had a plan for the people. And that's why, you know, and I know, heaven is my witness, I know the trials and tribulations that we can come unto and how those things of the world can press down and be heavy upon us. But you know what? God is bigger than all of those things. They are all small matters unto him, because for a surety, just as he said when he closed that sea upon the Egyptians that were coming out him, he says, this enemy you will see no more. We can trust that this day full of trials and tribulation, we will not see that day again. How are we going to move into the next day? Are we going to move into the next day depending on God's grace and his mercy, or are we going to continue to live in a place where we don't remember God? Because for our surety, he remembers us, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what words are being said, no matter our thoughts of ourselves, no matter if we have fallen, and no matter what, God remembers us. God remembers us, and for his name's sake, and for his glory, and for his honor, he's going to come and see about us, because you know what? He is not a man that he should lie unto us, that his words that he has said over our lives will not return unto him void. He will uphold his word in our lives. His promises are yea and amen. They will not fall to the ground. All we have to do is stand. You know, stand trusting in God. You know, Job said, oh, he slay me. What do you say, Reverend Ray?
Yet will I trust him.
Yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What we have to do is stand in the midst and trust God. Trust him to be who he say he is. Trust him to be faithful. Trust him to remember you. Trust him to remember. Because, you know, it's like, God, I know you remember me. Forgive me, you know, where I have missed it. You know, and in the New Testament it says, help me in my places of unbelief. Help me in that place where I cannot stand, because I know that you remember me. You know, and the man on the cross, I mean, you start to think and put all of these different pieces together, you know, because the Bible said, go here a little and there, and to come to the fullness of the matter. And you have the two men on either side of Jesus who were being crucified, and the one man said, remember me. And Jesus said, on this day, you shall be with me in paradise. Because he is going to remember. He will not forget us. He will remember his covenant with us. And how great is that, to know that someone else may forget you, but God will always remember you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And thank you, Reverend Robin. Actually, when you was talking, I was thinking about someone had said to me maybe about a month ago that they was in a Bible study, and the preacher or the teacher said that concerning this particular scripture, that means that God forgot. If God remembered, that means he forgot. And I'm like, no, God never forgets. That we can't always take that word remember in the content of the particular scriptures doesn't mean that God forgot. It doesn't mean that otherwise it means that oh that's right, I remember that. No, it's not like that. It's not that kind of remember. It's a remembrance of his covenant, of what took place. And what he has promised, it's a remember of bringing it back to it, right into the right place. In other words, there had to be a process, and when the process of time was done, as Reverend Robin was reading before over there in Exodus, when the process was done, when the time was done, and everything like that, then God said, "Okay, it's finished. I'm ready to go to the next one." But He never forgot the children of Israel. Okay. And that's what the gentleman was trying to tell the person. That means God forgets. That means God forgets us. But that's opposite of everything that we read in the teaching of Christ. Because if you say to someone that I'll never leave you or forsake you, but then at the same breath I'm saying, God forgot. No, there's something wrong with that type of thing. But God didn't forget us. The remembrance is a different type of remembrance. The remembrance is through the process of a season or a time that you got. The remembrance is that, okay, now you've gone through this long enough. The remembrance is looking at your situation, okay, it's been long enough. Because he loves his children. So if he remembers, it's like, okay, that's enough. Okay? If when remembering is at that particular time when God says, okay, it's time now. Just like when the children of Israel was going around the mountain several times. After a period of time, God said, okay, you have gone around this mountain long enough. It's now time for you to go in to possess the land. He knew that the children of Israel were going to be in there for 40 years. He knew that. You know, he knew. Red Robin brought out the thing about the man at the thief at the cross. He said, remember me. He says, this day, you know, no other time but this day. So the remembrance is that one, because most people think when someone remembers something that they forgot. And in this case, that's not the case. God didn't forget. because the other one, I said that God let the people go to in bondage for 400 years under the Pharaoh and the new Pharaoh and saw all kinds of stuff and forgot all about them. That's not the case. But they had to go through a process of time. They had to go through his appointed time. And when his appointed time came and said, oh, yeah, it was not, I'm sorry, it wasn't, oh, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's time now for me to go to the next level. It's time now for us to move on. It's time to be healed. It's time to be delivered and everything. I mean, some of the things that we go through, and Rob, you can correct me, some things I believe that we go through, is not, like I said before, it's not meant to do us harm, but to make us stronger. Okay? When they went into the promised land, there was of course, the people of a certain age had already died off, but they was ready. They was ready. There was no doubt about who it was that they were serving, okay? There was no doubt about that and everything. So when we say, talk about the word remember, because I don't know anybody, I'm not talking, we're not saying that God forgot all about them. That's not the case. That's not possible for God to forget us, you know? Let's go outside of who he is to say that he forget us. He knows each, if he knows each and every last one of us by name, it's impossible for God to forget who we are. Am I saying that right, Robin?
You also have to know that this isn't, he didn't forget them. He already knew the exact amount of time that they would be there. Because he had already told Abraham it would be 400 years.
Right.
So when it was at the 400 years, that is when he said, it is time.
It's time, okay.
It wasn't that he forgotten. He had already, you know, professed that they would be 400 years.
Yeah.
So he did not have to move upon this until the 400 years. He didn't forget that they were there.
He didn't forget
that they were there. He had already designated how long they would be there.
Yeah. And that's,
you know, and this is a side note even to that. You know, that was 400 years. And those 400 years was a time frame that he had given the people who were in the promised land that they were going to take over to get it together.
Yeah, right.
He said their sin is not yet fulfilled.
Yeah, and to grow, because they grew into a strong nation within the nation, and to grow. You know,
I think they went into Egypt, 70-some individuals, and came out a couple of million.
Yeah, something of that number.
You talked about a growth spurt.
They grew.
They grew into a mighty nation.
Right.
They grew into a mighty nation. And that's what God, he grew them into a mighty nation to go in and take a promised land that he promised to them.
Right. And the reason that they grew, and Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh or king of Egypt got concerned about it, was because they got so mighty and strong, fear came into them that they're going to take over all of Egypt. That's how fast they was growing. You know, that's what took place with Moses. There was a death of anyone a certain age and under, Robin. You know, that's why all that took place. They was trying to kill off any male children, kids and everything. All of that is taking place and everything. But even with that, they could not stop the timetable or the promise of God. They couldn't stop the process. With all that Pharaoh did, he could not stop the process that God had already
attained. Yeah, Pharaoh had said that they should kill every male child born.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He couldn't stop the process. He couldn't stop the process. And then when I think about what they went, that applies to us too. That type of anointing or that kind of promise or covenant applies to us too. That no matter what the enemy, no matter how long things are going on, that God would, you know, God, I know for a fact that there have people that were on their deathbed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right then and there before they left this world. You know, we always know that it's possible with the man that was on the cross, the thief that was on the cross, you know. And that took place before the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other story. But that took place before the Holy Spirit even fell. So we know these things, man. So I'm saying to whoever you listening to, God has not forgotten you. He remembers you. You know, whatever storms of life, whatever challenges you're going through, whatever, God has not forgotten. He remembers you. The scripture said that we think that people, there are some people, not all, many people think that because you have a Christian or new believer or followers of the way, that you're not going to have trials and tribulation, that you should, you because, no, you know, no, that's not true. Jesus said that we're going to go through some things. If he had to go through some things while he was here, and he was the Son of the Living God, had to go through, we're going to go through some things too. You know, we're going to have to bear each other's burden. We're going to have to bear our cross and follow him and believe in him and trust him and know that he got us. And know that he got us. We're going to have to get to a point where we begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, like David did. Encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. You know, begin to like, Lord God, I begin to pray to our own self about the God that we serve. You know, God, I know you didn't forget me. I know you remember my name. I know that you're with me. I know that you promised never leave me. We begin to speak life and not death, you know. We begin to speak things like that, you know, not within our own self, but through the Holy Spirit to let us know and to remind that whatever obstacles, whatever storms, whatever the demonic forces, what you can't stand, because God has already said so. It's a done deal. You know, it's been written. So it is written. It is written. You know, it is written. He gave them scriptures. It is written, you know. The man should not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But it's written. Those things are written already in our lives. We don't have to be afraid of what the terror at night or the arrows that flies by the day. I think I said that backwards. We don't have to be afraid of anything. All we got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And whatever direction he said for us to go, then go. And keep our head lifted up to him. And know that he got us. That he got us.
Amen.
Amen. It would us.
He has us.
Yeah.
He has us.
He has us. He got us. He has us. I think I said that. Yeah. Amen.
Mhm.
Mhm. Whew. Thank you, Robbie, for joining me. I did have I had something else.
I know the one thing that we can just, even in Psalm 23, it says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, this is saying, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and, you know, Reverend Ray and I have kind of discussed this a little, is that we go on having our own plan. A plan that may not be a plan that is the path of his righteousness.
Right, right.
But then he would go and throw up roadblocks.
Yes,
he would barricade so that you cannot go the way in which you want to go, because the way in which and what you plan to do does not give his name glory. It is not the path of righteousness. So, and I love this because it says, he restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. It is something if you just can kind of put in imagine, you know, imagine in your mind. You know, that's why he says, wide is, you know, narrow is the way for us to go. You know, wide is the way, but narrow is the path to lead into righteousness.
Yes.
If you can just imagine that path truly is wide open, but God comes up and put all of these barricades for his chosen and his people that he has a plan for and he has a path for them, so that as wide, he actually begins to narrow your path for you.
Mm.
Because otherwise you would walk and do anything you want to do. Mm. But it says, he leadeth me into the path of righteousness. He will put up those roadblocks and he will put things in your way where you may want to turn left, and then he'll put a roadblock where you no longer can go there. That street is closed off to you. You know, so you go here, maybe I can get to it if I go around the way this way. So he puts something there, and there's a roadblock, so now you can't go that way either. So he leadeth you into that path of righteousness by, as you're moving through your life, he put things in your path where you cannot even though you may want to go the path that you want to go, but you have no choice but to be led into the path of righteousness in which he has. Now, that's a God that's remembering you.
Yeah.
You may think that you're into something right now that is devastating to you, but it is something that has slowed you down from doing something that God may not want you to go. And just as that trial or that tribulation or that medical diagnosis or whatever that has made you stop long enough to God to lead that path in which he would have you to go. You see, we kind of, you know, that's why God said, my thoughts are higher than you. My ways are higher than you. You see, because none of us want trials or tribulations. I don't know who has their hands up right now saying, oh, I want that trial. I want this tribulation. I want this diagnosis. You know, I want you know, to lose my job. No one is raising their hands and asking for, you know, severe trials and tribulations. But God can do his work where only he get the glory, where you can only see his mighty hand when you come out on the other side of that. You come out on the other side of that, giving him glory, so that those who are looking out on the outside can also see God and to see his hand move and move you through that situation. You see, because it says he leadeth us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And it says in verse 4, 23, 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, and so we need to always remember that no matter what we're going through, God is there. He is there. Just, you know, as the scriptures have said and Reverend Ray has said, cry out unto God. He may not change the situation as quickly as you want the situation to change, but he will change us in the midst of our going through the situation, through the trial, through the tribulation. He will be with us. He will comfort us. You know, people would say, how are you just standing through this? My God is able. My God is able. You know, he can come and shield the mind. So all these things that should be making you lose your living mind, your mind, he can come and shield your mind that you can walk through it. And I know just for me, sometimes if things are just really crazy, I was like, you know what? I think what I need to do is just go to sleep, and I'll just face things tomorrow. And knowing that, go and get a good night's sleep and wake up, and, okay, let's keep on moving. You see, because we can't bask and repeat in our minds the situation. What we have to do is just shut all of that off sometimes. Shut it off and allow just like, God, I'm just going to sleep. I'm just going to leave you time to do whatever work you're going to do. I'm just going to go to sleep. You know, or whatever, however God gets you through it, just get through it with God, knowing that he has said he would never leave you nor forsake you, and knowing that he is a man who cannot lie, then he know he has not forsaken you. He does not forsake his children. He does not. But we will go through things. If Jesus went through things, we will go through things. We will all go through things. But he has not forgotten us. God is always with us, and he is leading us through that path of righteousness. Why? Because we cannot do it ourselves. Because it's his righteousness. It's not ours. It's his righteousness, and he knows the plans that he has for us. He knew when we start looking through the scripture, he knew all the plans. He knew everything. When the people wanted a king, and he went on and gave them Saul, he knew Saul wasn't the answer. He knew what was going to happen. He already knew where David was, already being prepped, already being out there in the sheep, you know, in the fields with the sheep, already defeating the lion, defeating the bear, building up his confidence of who God is, establishing his relationship with God, establishing his heart, all simultaneously at the time while they're dealing with Saul. You know, so while we're going through something, God is around the corner. He's working on something else, preparing for that time when we move forward into that time in which we're to intersect with what God truly has for us. So God is always there. He is always there. He remembers his covenant. He remembers his covenant. And I'm just so thankful that his, you know, we have to hold on to those places that God brings us to. If his spirit has borne witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, then you are forever a child of God. You don't get to a point where he says, I don't want you as my child anymore. It doesn't happen like that, because he is not a man that he should lie. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. That's why it's so exciting, you know, when you think the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, having that joy in knowing who God is, brings about your strength. When you can, we can all sit back and think, well, he got me through that. He got me through this. He got me through this. He was faithful to that. He came in with a healing when I needed healing. He came forth with provisions when I needed provisions. He came forth with a word when I needed a word. He came forth with comfort when I needed comfort. He came forth with grace when I needed grace. He came forth with whatever it is that you know God has done, he will continue to do it. That is his bearing witness with you that he is there for you. So if he has borne witness with you, I don't care what, how far back you have to go to grab onto something to hold on, but we grab back on and we hold on to that because you are in covenant with him and he will never leave, forsake, or forget his children. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Reverend Robin again, man. You've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been The Bread of Life. I'm so happy that my friend, my cousin, my soldier, Reverend Robin, was able to join us tonight with this part two. There's so much more we can go with this because I didn't get a chance. Like I said, Reverend Robin, I had talked earlier. We mentioned about the king, but we, about was Sarah and Abraham when King Abimelech, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about that too. Maybe we could do that another time, if God be willing, and everything like that. But there's so much, so many scriptures to deal with God remembered us, or God remember Abraham, or God remember Sarah. God remembers so many different people, and he remembers us. He knows who you are, okay? He knows who you are. He knows whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or have you not. He knows that too. There are some people, even today, I believe that their lives are being changed right now as we speak. They accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior right down to the street. They never thought it. Maybe they was into some really heavy stuff like drugs and alcohol. Maybe they was the type of person that hate others because of the color of their skin. But God is in the midst of changing people. I know that there's so much things that are going on within the world, and it can be some really discouraging. And sometimes you just got to turn all that stuff off because it can be burdensome to you because all the things that you see is all bad news. You know, every now and then you hear something good, but then you hear about 10 things that bad, you know. And, you know, or this person, especially the different types of shootings, and my prayers go out to the different families of shootings in Buffalo and some other different places. But this is the season and the time that we live in. But even in the midst of this, God still remember us. He still have a covenant with us. And he's calling you and me and all and many others, that no matter what the color of your skin or what kind of dialect you speak or what nation you are, he's calling us. You know, Jesus has his arms stretched wide open just for you and everything like that. It's not too late. As long as you have breath, there's a chance for you to come right. If you're backslidden, there's a chance for you to get back into right relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't do it for you. That's something that has to take place between you and God. That's something that has to take place between you and Christ. I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it. And no priest, not kind of knocking about it, but no priest confessing to the priest can do it for you. You have to go to God. You have to go to Christ. And you can't get to God unless you go, you can't get to the Father unless you go to the Son. So, yeah, you got to go through Jesus Christ, you know. So I don't know what some of you might be going through, but this COVID thing is still out there. It ain't going nowhere. And then they got a new one called the monkey something. I don't know. I don't know what's that about. But, you know, seek after the things of the Lord. You know, use wisdom in all that we do and everything. Know that God loves you. Know that the scripture says that God so loved the world. He didn't just say he just loved all Christians or all Catholics or all the Baptists or whatever. He didn't love the world. Then he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believe him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He desired that no man should perish. You know, he said that he's married to the backslider. He's married to you. He desired all of us to be in a relationship with him. That was the whole purpose of Christ, going to the cross, so that we can have that fellowship with him. Amen. Amen. And amen. So, Reverend Robin, I'm going to go ahead and give you the last words, and if you want, can close us out in prayer, I'll be grateful. Amen.
Oh, well, bless God. Bless God. My own last words I have is just that to know, and I pray that we all know, that no matter where we find ourselves, we are not alone. We are not alone. That is something that is always a great comfort to me. That because truly, when man forsake you, when family forsake you, when people write you off and don't think you're good enough or don't think that you're worthy of their presence or whatever it may be, it is always a reassurance and a mighty thing to know that I am never alone because God is always with me. I always have a friend in Jesus. And I pray that those of you who are listening, that you will know that you are never alone because he has said that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And God is faithful and true to his word. So, Heavenly Father, we just come right now before you. We give you all honor, we give you all praise, and we give you all glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a rock that we can stand on. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you care about everything that pertains to us. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your grace and for your mercy, Lord God. And, Father, above all, we thank you that you have chosen us to be your children, not because we're so good, not because we're so faithful, because, Father, you said in your word that you would be faithful to your covenant with us even when we are not. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you do recognize and know this creation of man that you have made, that you know, Lord God, those things that are within us and those limitations, Lord God, and how we are truly a frail being, Lord God, that we are unable to keep ourselves. So, Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent him to be our sacrifice. Lord God, that you took him as far as the one, Lord God, to die for our sin and to shed his blood that we may be reconciled because it was not something that we would ever be able to do on our own. So, Father, we are so thankful for that love that you had for us, that love that you would give your only begotten son, Lord God, to die for us. Father, not only would you give your only begotten son, but it is you who made sure that he came into existence, Lord God, that he would be on the scene to be able to allow us to be reconciled and to come into relationship with you. Father, we thank you, Lord God. It wasn't happenstance that Jesus just happened to be born. It didn't happen like that. You prepared his coming into the earth for a couple of thousand of years, Lord God, and then you made certain that his blood was the pure blood from heaven. It did not intermingle with man. So, Father, that it was only his blood that was pure enough to satisfy, Lord God, the sin, Lord God, that man has. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for how of a of a mighty way that you have come just to have a relation, just to restore, just to make sure that we are whole, just to make sure that we can have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, that we will have that strength and that power to truly go forth and be overcomers that you've called us to be, because we are overcomers by the Spirit of the living God. We are overcomers because you have called and proclaimed and said that we are. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that our strength is the strength of being in Christ Jesus, Lord God. Nothing of ourselves, but all due to him. So we give him all the honor, all the praise, and the glory on this day, on this evening, at this time, and forevermore, because he is worthy of so much praise, Lord God, because he has come and he has done a mighty work. He has come to allow man to come back into your presence, to go boldly before you, to be able to go for ourselves. We don't have to go through another man, another intermediary, someone who is just as frail and fallen as we are, but we can go right directly unto you. We can have our groanings, Lord God, and our hurts and our pains, and that to just reach, leave our lips and to reach directly unto your ears. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that when you hear our groanings and when you hear our cries, you come forth because of your covenant with mankind. So, Father, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you, we exalt you, we give you the highest praise on this evening of hallelujah, because you are worthy of it. You are worthy of it because you are a God who is a covenant-keeping God. You are faithful when we are not faithful. How great of a God is that that we serve, that he will continue to fulfill both sides of the covenant. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, we magnify you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray and say amen and amen on this evening. Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Reverend Robert. God be blessed. We'll see you next time around. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is just a reminder. Here's Abound in Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the finished work